RNZ National and the country's former chief science advisor says many governments failed to act in the years and months leading up to the COVID-19 pandemic. An international report commissioned by the World Health Organization says the world's pandemic preparedness needs urgent reform. It says governments ignored years of warnings about an inevitable outbreak, resulting in inadequate funding and readiness. Sir Peter Gluckman, who is president of the International Science Council, says a new approach is needed, and he joins me now. Tēnā koe, Sir Peter.
Tēnā koe.
Were we warned in New Zealand about the possibility of a pandemic?
Yes, I think most countries were well aware through different means that we've had recurrent zoonoses over recent decades, and sooner or later one of them was going to break out, and if not aggressively attacked early on, it would lead to the situation we've been in. New Zealand had a pandemic preparedness plan which was based around influenza, which was helpful, but it didn't consider the broad range of issues that were ahead. But most countries, New Zealand included, have not really incorporated risk assessment and risk management in general into their policy setting processes. So while there will be departments and agencies and many governments that knew about this, the actual incorporation of that into the way governments were ready for this event was weak. And I think Helen Clark, or the independent panel's report, highlights that. But equally, we can see in the independent panel's report and from our own observations that the WHO and international health regulations were not fit for purpose in this particular situation. And they're not likely to be fit for purpose without significant change in the way the WHO works, in the way the multilateral system as a whole works, and in the way that countries comply with modified international health regulations and the moral obligations to alert the world quickly of a potential risk.
Where did those warnings come from in the first place?
They came from everybody, from the scientific community. Repeatedly, there were many commentaries, the public health community, the infectious disease community, and from people like Bill Gates even. I mean, it was well known. And I mean, if you think about SARS, MERS, the various kinds of flu epidemic we've had, Nipah fever, Zika, they've all been potential events, Ebola itself, all are potential things that could have gone to global events had they had slightly different properties. It turned out that inevitably a coronavirus came along with properties that favoured the kind of situation that's emerged if it was not aggressively treated early. And what we've seen is countries that moved for various reasons very quickly did much better than countries that took time. And they had to be moved quickly and do it aggressively. And I mean, it's self-evident that if you have a rapidly spreading virus, which has a long incubation period and a moderately high morbidity and mortality, it will quickly get out of hand if one doesn't aggressively shut it down.
Is it a case of now that we've had this pandemic, it's never going to happen again?
No, I think that would be the outcome that the independent panel would hope for and what I would hope for. But it requires change in the WHO. It requires commitment by national leaders and member states to recognise that the global commons must be a priority in this situation. We have ongoing issues of vaccine distribution, of vaccine nationalism, of geopolitics. We have long echoes from this pandemic, which will last for many years, around mental health, around educational deficits, around social cohesion, around economic consequences and so forth. And we need to recognise that the multilateral system is not fit for this. It's extraordinary that 15 months into this, neither the United Nations Security Council or the United Nations General Assembly at the level of leaders has met to discuss the pandemic. The biggest existential threat in decades to humankind. That's just a symptom of the problems we've had. And the fact that the issues around the declaration of pandemic state, the issues of sharing data, all of those issues in the early days delayed responses. But equally, many national governments did not respond quickly and appropriately to scientific advice. And underneath all of that is the issue we raised in a report a few weeks ago, that risk governance and risk assessment are not integrated properly into the way most governments operate.
It sounds like there's quite a lot that needs to be done. Is there any forward planning going on at all in New Zealand, to your knowledge?
Well, I'm well aware that the government that officials in government, and I presume therefore politicians, are taking a good look at their risk management approaches. I think the government in New Zealand will, we have a government is capable and will be self-learning. And I think we all, at every level, from the science community, the political leader community, the policy community, will all learn from this event. I think we will be able to learn. The issue is where the international community as a whole can learn.
And just bringing it right back to home, is there anything that we as New Zealanders can do?
Well, I hope that New Zealand's moral position and success to date and the reputation we have means that we could be a leader, as Helen Clark has shown in her role with the independent panel, in instigating the change that is needed. It's not just about pandemics. The same issues relate to climate change, to environmental degradation, to many other issues ahead of us. And if we don't achieve an understanding by nations that it's actually in their self-interest to work more cohesively on these issues of the global commons, we will face even more problems ahead.
Is there anybody in the global community who is actually prepared?
Well, it means what you mean by that. I think there's a lot of discussion going on in both the scientific and the policy and in some of the political community to think ahead. I think the fact that the independent panel, was able to make its recommendations suggests that there is an opportunity for change. But we're in a difficult time in historical terms where nationalism is rising at the expense of a commitment to multilateralism. If you think about it, nations themselves have to give license to the multilateral community. And at the moment, in recent times, that license has been lesser rather than greater. We see that in trade negotiations, WTO. We see it in many other areas of multilateralism beyond WHO.
Gee, very sobering. Thank you very much, Sir Peter.
My pleasure, Karen.